opening your Bibles up to Ezekiel. And I'm grateful to God we are back in into the holy, the saints, the sanctified. All of this is us in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And so thankful that we have been rejoicing in just a beauty that the word saint, the word holy, the exact same word, whether you're in the Old Testament or the New. And we're finding out where the saints are, it's holy. And where it's holy, there's glory. Because, brothers and sisters, when we are separated to Him, I'll tell you what, when we're separated to Him, that's the saints. When we are exclusively for Him, that's the holy, then all that remains is the glory of the Lord. And it is the truth. You think about all the examples we have throughout the Word of God, but specifically we were with those cherubim in the Holy of Holies the last couple Wednesday nights. And we saw back in there, that was a very exclusive place. That was a place only the high priest would go back in there once a year to fellowship, to offer that sacrifice, to pray. But that's where I really emphasize that fellowship in type and shadow to us of what was coming for us to have in that intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And I thank the Lord for this. And I think tonight He'll just expand upon that vision that was given and now made manifest to us. But that's why His bride, the saints, the holy, she descends from heaven in nothing but glory. Amen? That's exactly what she does. And that's exactly who she is. She is glory for Him. So tonight, as I mentioned, we're going back to the cherubim. And specifically those seen in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. And these are, again, the vision of these cherubim that were given to the prophet Ezekiel. And we see that this will be such an encouragement for our lives, because as we see these ones, brothers and sisters, this is us perfected in Christ. That means complete. That means fully grown up. You know, you start talking about the word perfection to most religious people, and they don't even get it. Sinless perfection was already taken care of for you the moment that you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior on the cross. That is your life, just as if it never sinned. Amen. You have been placed in the realm of grace. Praise God. Never to be remembered again. Isn't that wonderful? In the sea of forgetfulness. Praise be to God. But this perfection is speaking here of growing in that grace, growing in that unmerited favor and mercy, growing in that life that's been given and imputed to us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And allowing that life to feed and feed, yea, upon the deep things of God, the word of His grace, and growing up into Christ in all things. That is so wonderful. And we see this encouragement throughout the word, but so sweetly we see this in these cherubim as a type and as a metaphor to our lives. We did a study on the cherubim and the seraphim back in 2009. Maybe, God willing, we'll get back into that. There'd be things to remember again, and I'm sure there's greater things to even know. As we know, it's endless. But Ezekiel reveals to us, if you will, when he sees these cherubim, this is the earthly vision of the cherubim. And the reason I say this, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper in just a second, but they have four wings in the vision that Ezekiel sees. And as well, when Ezekiel speaks of them, it always speaks of the throne being above them, the throne being above the cherubim. And next week, God willing, we're going to go on and see these, if you will, these saints of the Most High, this bridal company. We'll see it as the seraphim. The seraphim are the same as the cherubim, but in a sense, there's a difference there, because instead of seeing the cherubim in an earthly vision, Isaiah sees the seraphim in a heavenly vision. And you'll see that the seraphim of Isaiah are the same that John sees in Revelation. And the reason he sees them and they're the same is at that time they have six wings. And we'll talk about the meaning of that six. And then, instead of the throne being above their head, when it's so beautiful, when we see the seraphim, you'll see that they are above the throne. So it's a marvelous encouragement to our hearts. And remember, brothers and sisters, this is all revealed because of Paul's gospel. You could never begin to see any of this stuff without Paul's gospel. You couldn't even begin to understand any of the deep meaning of this stuff. And that's why I'm so thankful to God. These are the things that we know. These are the things that we've studied. These are the things that we continue to study. Because these things are ours. This is the Lord speaking of our place with Him in glory. What He has for us in the heights of this bridal company that will rule and reign and be glorified together with Him. And that's what I want to get into tonight, is these cherubim that were separated out to Him. And we see that. And we see that in our own lives. We know that. We're separated to God. You're a loner to Him. And that's it. When you go out unto Him, you go out from among the camp. And you're separate. And there isn't a whole bunch that's going to join you. Matter of fact, there might not be anybody. You know? All of the calling, whether it was David, whether it was Moses, whether it was Jacob, whether it was Abraham, those are just kooks. How could they follow God like that? How could they go on with God like that? How did they just see that in the scripture? How did they hear the word of the Lord like that? You know why? Because they just believed God and His word and what He said. That's why if you believe God and His word and what He said, you'll show up at those things. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And if you don't have any faith for these things of God, let me tell you something. You're not going to partake in that. And it's been evident throughout the word of God. Those that had that faith partook. As precious Mary said, be it unto me according, let it be done unto me according to thy word. How much simpler could it get? Amen? That's right. There it is. Let's believe the word of God. So tonight we're going back to see these cherubim. And again, specifically here in Ezekiel, we're going to go in chapter 1 and chapter 10. We're going to see this earthly vision. And what I want you to notice, again, with this earthly vision that Ezekiel sees of these cherubim, is once again, the throne is above them, as he speaks of them. And maybe the best part, as I mentioned, is they have four wings. The number four speaks of man's weakness. It's beautiful. Once again, it's got to be God's mercy that makes us these ones. Do you get it? That's it. That's the reason the cherubim are where they're at. That's the reason that they're separated out to God. That's the reason that they were choice in their exclusivity, if you will, to the high priest. They were made out of mercy. They were made out of that beautiful mercy seat. They came right out of it. They weren't pieced in there as separate pieces or anything of that. They were made out of one piece of beaten gold. That was that mercy seat. And they came out of that. And because they came out of that mercy, they were placed in the Holy of Holies. That fellowship, praise God, was beyond the veil. It was in the intimate chamber. It was the place, again, where that high priest would go in there and make that offering and pray unto God. What a wonder. What a beautiful encouragement to us. That this is our offering in type and shadow and so abundant in the metaphor of what it is. But here you go again, speaking of that four, if you will, that mercy. If you remember the tabernacle in the wilderness, as you approached that tabernacle and you got to the front, there were five pillars. Five. All right? And speaks of grace. You couldn't go in there. You couldn't even go into the court without grace. There was the five. But once you got back to that oracle or the Holy of Holies, where, give me chills right now, where that ark And where the lid, the mercy seat, was on top of it, and the cherubim were, to get back into that Holy of Holies, there weren't five pillars that in that time. There was four. There was four, and there were the veils crossed apart those four pillars. So it went from grace to human weakness. And I love that so much. Why was it four? Why? It's because it has to be complete weakness. It has to be nothing but mercy that draws you back there. There's nothing but the glorying in our infirmities, so the power of Christ would rest upon you. It's just too perfect, is it not? He's going to magnify one thing, and that is his grace and mercy. That's it. I love how Brother Copley would always say that. If there was any glorying in my flesh, I've taken away from what God wants to give me. Even a shred, as Brother Hill would say here. If I could just clip my pinky nail, if I could do just one little thing, why would I want to bring anything? And by the way, you couldn't bring anything in there. You couldn't bring anything of you in there. And you think about it, it started even with that sweet Abel. He brought him the lamb. Huh? It was just that. That's all I want. And I'll tell you what, these cherubim, they're out of that mercy and they're bathed in that blood. I'm sure that blood flew all over that place in there. And that's why David, I loved how he said, oh, he's a bloody man. They didn't realize what blood they were talking about there, but another sermon for you. Now, there's a lot of highlights in here, but God willing, we're just going to emphasize tonight quickly through these couple chapters how set apart we are, how set apart in glory we are. And I'm talking about the cherubims of glory. Remember how we read that in Hebrews last week? It's the cherubim of glory. They're of glory. Because why? Because they're of mercy. The mercy's his glory. Amen. Amen it is. And I thank God I gather with people that are going to glory in that. See, that's us that are perfected, that are grown up. The rib bridal portion company of the Lord. This is who they are. So let's get in here. And we're going to just move through and just highlight of this separateness, this separated unto him, this, if you will, exclusively for him. We know that the saints, the holy, the cherubim are to him, praise God. So as we start even in Ezekiel 1:1, here it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river, and this is actually pronounced Kavar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Well, this river Kavar, it means far off. See, to see these things, to even be there, if you will, in these enlightened eyes of understanding that God has given us, you got to get separated. You got to get way out there. Have you ever had any other Christian tell you, you're way out there? Matter of fact, you stay out there because I don't want you around me. That kind of a thing. And it's not that you're trying to be offensive at all, but you're in love. You're drawn. How could we not say and speak the things that we have heard and seen? And no, thanks be to God. You know it's tangible to you, this faith. It's real. It's evident. Praise God, this is what he's after. And it's very clear. So we see that even Ezekiel was taken to this place that was far off. It was far away, separated out for him to even begin to see this, to write of it. So right there you know that there's a separation that occurs. Going over in the fifth verse, it says, now just to really hit this so you understand what he's speaking of here in these cherubim, they're called the four living creatures. Listen to this. Also out of the midst thereof, in the fifth verse, came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. So once again, we can bring that right over to Revelation chapter 4. And we know that we're seeing a glimpse of these. There's a type and a shadow that was shown of what was to be. And we're explained very clearly in Revelation chapter 4 who these cherubim or four living creatures or the four beasts, however you want to say that, who they are. Well, they're redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. We know they're not angels. We know they're not just these spirits or whatever people want to call them or this and that. To be redeemed, let me tell you something, you need to be a man or mankind. You understand that. You have to have a soul, praise God. And to have that wonderful redemption, you have to receive the blood of the Lamb upon your life. And we know that those four living ones, we see that they're given that exclusive, special place in the midst of the throne with Him. They're the most set apart company that you see in Revelation. They're the ones that rule and reign jointly with Him together. Hallelujah. They're the ones that are magnified in that same glory. They receive the glory with Him. They're the Philadelphia company. If you go back to Revelation chapter 3, that we see that the Lord says, I will make known to them that I have loved you. And part of that's going to be, I'm going to make them come and bow down and worship before your feet. That's glorified together. He doesn't talk about any other church like that. We know that the Church of Smyrna will participate in that as well too. We understand that. But Philadelphia, in that regard, he marks out and he says, look, this is how I love you. I'm going to make you one of these pillars in the house of the Lord. Praise God. You ain't moving out of there. You're going to have that place with me. But see, this is what is so precious here is as you go along. Now, verse 25, listen to this. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. So we see that that throne was above their heads. And we'll mark this when God willing, if he tarry, we gather next week. You'll see that that throne will be below the seraphim, which again, the four living creatures that you see in Revelation 4, because that'll be the heavenly vision. But isn't this beautiful? Above their heads was the likeness of a throne. I see above your heads the likeness of a throne. That's your mindset. That's just what, praise God, that's what we're after. That's why we come in here. If by any means we might attain. Amen? We're holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. That crown represents that throne. It's that ruling and reigning jointly together with him. It's magnifying him. As the I am, and praise God, his readied wife. It's amazing, praise God, of what he has for us. Now, let's jump on over to chapter 10. Like I told you, we're just moving through some of the highlights here of this glory that's given to these cherubim that is us in Christ separated unto him. Chapter 10, verse 1. He says, then I looked, and behold, in the firmament was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it was sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Once again, that mindset, that encouragement of that's all that is set before them. That's all that their thought is consumed. Their mind is that mind of Christ and his desire of that height that he wants her to share with him. And how beautiful this is. And it just follows them all around. Verse 3. It says, now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in and the cloud filled the inner court. You say, well, why did he say that? Well, we got to go over to Psalm 118:16 to understand what this right side of the house means. So going over to Psalms 118 and verse 16. So you understand what the right side of the right hand means. In 118:16, it says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. This is this cherubim to him. They're going to be exalted with him. That glory is going to come forth out of them because they're going to descend from heaven having the glory of God. You say, well, where did I get all that? Well, let's go on back to Ezekiel 10 and you'll see. Now, verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubs and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Where did it say that glory came up from? The cherub. How beautiful. That glory just started coming forth out of them and coming forth out of their lives, praise God, and filling up that the court there and the house of the Lord and the brightness of the Lord's glory. And then it says in verse 5, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty. So not only do cherubims emit and give glory, cherubim, they speak with his glory. I mean, it's just glory all over the place. And that's us in Christ, brothers and sisters. And we'll hit that in just a second. But we just need a little bit more of the word of his grace to build us up tonight. Because I do not think we even remotely appreciate his grace and mercy enough of what he sees for us in Christ. Verse 7 says, and one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims. Do you realize there's fire between us? It's raging. Oh, you betcha it is. That's called love. And you talk about divine love. We're radiating this stuff. But you notice one of the cherub, they reached in between the fire that was between the cherubims and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen. You know whose hands that was. That's him who took it and went out. I just have to throw that in because that word took it, it means to seize and take a wife. You see that thing between us? What's going on? That love that Paul talks about, let that love grow more and more. Let it increase more and more. That's that bridal company. And he's going to take that love and take his wife. He's going to seize that to himself. Praise God. Once again, set apart. Once again, taken unto him. Once again, exclusively for him. Holy, saint, sanctified. Praise God. Go on, verse 15. What happened then? And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kavar. The cherubims were lifted up. That means exalted crown glory. Isn't that beautiful? How about, does that kind of take you right over there to 2 Timothy 4:8? And Brother Paul said, and there's for me that crown of righteousness that's laid up for me. Amen. And not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Yeah, that's that exalted crown glory. The cherubims were lifted up. I love when his glory lifts me up. Aren't you thankful to be that glory for him? Aren't you thankful that glory comes out of your life? Now do you understand why it says we grow from glory to glory into his image? This is a glory thing. It's his glory. But he's given it to us. And how did he give it to us? In the life that lives in us. Him, the new man. All grace, all mercy, praise the Lord. This is what it is. Verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. It is. It's just glory all over the place. It's just pouring glory. That's this message. It's the message, truly, of the glory of his grace. That's who she is. Yes, it is grace and glory. But this is the message of the glory of his grace. The one who'll come forth as that glory. All because of his grace. How wonderful. And then finally in verse 19. And the cherubims lifted up their wings. And they mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of God, the God of Israel was over them above. So they give off glory. They speak in glory. There's glory on top of them. Glory in them. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. All this glory, all this beauty, all this separated unto him. Man, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. This sanctified wife of his is a masterpiece. She's amazing. And that's you. Because of the word of his grace. That's it. Because you take this for your life. And that's what we're led to just focus on as we close this up tonight, is this glory. And this glory is because of the perfection of mercy's work. The perfection of mercy's work. Being only found in his righteousness. That's exactly what Paul said. That's mercy. Did you deserve any of his righteousness? No, you didn't. That's mercy. And that's why Paul says that I would only be found having his righteousness. This is cherubim time. Praise God. Those are those that will go past and go on in. And yea, into the deep things of God. This was Paul's cry of triumph, wasn't it? That he would be only found in his righteousness. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I was thinking how the Song of Solomon comes to new life. How does the Song of Solomon start? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Love that. That means to be equipped for war, for warfare. Oh, it's got to be a battle. It's got to be a fight. No, you know what it is? It's complete victory in his mercy. You have complete victory in the mercy of God. You realize that, amen? Because it's taken you from the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve and put you in the exact extreme opposite of what he desires. It's incredible. And he had to do the exact opposite of that for us to have it. Extreme. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful this is. Now, listen to this. This is complete victory in his mercy. Thinking of that Shulamite, thinking of that Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let me be equipped with that mercy. Because she immediately testifies of it, doesn't she? She says, I'm black, which means I'm weathered, I'm old. But in the opposite of mercy, I know I'm comely. I know I'm beautiful. I'm like the tents of Kedar, she says back to him. That means I'm used. I'm exhausted. There's no beauty in me. But oh no, in mercy, I'm the curtains of Solomon. Huh? Once again, we see that what the mercy does is it causes us always to see the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve. Even what we look like to ourselves or even by others, that's not it. It's who we are in Christ, in the beauty of his mercy, that is the reality of it all. All right, now, just like here. We've just read about these. And I tell you, you go back in and study about Ezekiel, and they got straight feet, and they move with the Spirit, and their voice is just like the Lord's, and they have glory pouring all out of them and all. How can this be us? The likes of us? Who's he talking about here, brother? I've never met them. I have. They're the lovers of the word of his grace. And they're right here. And they're right here. They were the Davids and the Abrahams and the Ruths and the Boaz and the Tamars. The Shebas. They were confident in grace. They stood in confidence in his mercy. You see, by the grace of God, why we should rise up. really in Jesus' name. It's all that the enemy would want us to do is to even get into the self-righteousness of I need to be defeated. I need to feel like I'm such a loser. And all I'm doing is I'm truly just shaming, in a sense, what the Lord's already provided for me. Oh God, let's love His mercy. Now really, we know that reading about these cherubim here, brothers and sisters, they're just too perfect, too glorious, too much. But that's exactly what His mercy is. It's just too glorious, too much. But it's you. That's what He said. He said, I am going to bestow the riches of My glory on My vessels of mercy. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. Yes, that's the difference. That's the cherubim. That's the difference. Now, that's His grace. It's divine, it's abundance, it's miraculous, it's beyond. And as we said, it transforms you from glory to glory into His very image. That's why these are the cherubims of glory. Because that's all it is. It's His mercy. His mercy makes you glorious. There's nothing else that'll make you glorious. That's why you praise Him for that mercy. You do. And it says, until eternal life, you just continue to praise Him. And that's speaking of, again, in that encouragement of when we're like Him. That's our praise, isn't it? It better be if you really want to be ready. Because anything but that praise, you're not going to be ready. You're still thinking of you instead of the Lamb. Praise be to God. Now, isn't this wonderful? We grow from glory to glory into His very image. I mean, really fathom that. That's like Him glory, is it not? And how is that done? By faith. Just to believe in the all-transforming power of faith in His mercy. We're talking fullness, brothers and sisters. We're talking to the measure and the very stature. The Word of God says we grow up into Him in all things. It's complete. And it's the complete extreme opposite of what I deserve. But once again, that's mercy. Praise God. And that is the power that sets us apart from even what we think about ourselves. And think about what you think about yourself every day. Because the enemy really's got all those things to think about you and yourself. And I'm talking about the picture of you. But the power that sets you apart is mercy. It sets you right back into reality. That's why the all-glorious cherubim, the perfected full-stature saints, they gaze at nothing but mercy. When our gaze strays from it, God forbid, but it does, get right back on it. Just get right back on it. Right back on it. Now, we really need to see this. Because this is the set-apart bride. It's all by His grace and His mercy. The Word tells us who we are in Christ. And I'm with you because I believe it's just mind-blowing to look at what He sees for us. To know what He has for us. And to know what His will and He is performing in us. This glory that we see here in Ezekiel with these cherubim. You think of the union that they have with the Lord. How much fun they're having with God. Glory here, glory there, lightning there, lightning back and forth. We're going to talk about all these things. This really is revelation. This is the time, praise God, of the tribulation going on over into the millennial time. They rule and reign jointly together with Him. This truly is the honeymoon. Remember when we studied the Song of Solomon? She was the one that says, oh, let's get up early and go. Let's go down to the harvest. Let's go down and let's pour forth this judgment. Because it's going to magnify you, honey. Yeah. You'll really understand why in Hosea, it's beautiful, in the 12th chapter, it says that you love mercy and judgment till he come. How could mercy and judgment be together? Right here. Amen. All right, vessels of mercy. And judgment's coming. And thank you, Jesus, we get to pour that out with him. It's amazing. Praise be to God. Because he's going to be praised in it. But I pray that we get this. This is the holy. This is the saints. These are the cherubims of glory. These are the ones that will reign with him. Now, just real brief. Once again, how did it all happen? By staring at mercy. By looking at nothing but the blood. All the powers in that blood. The depths of what that blood and the grace of God will do in your life. Staring, gazing, glorying in nothing but the blood on the mercy seat. The most holy place, the most holy set apart vision of you will only be seen in his mercy. Do you know that? Oh, you can think of what a sight for you, but it'll always pale and never be even in the remote universe of glory. The vision of you in his mercy. According to Paul's gospel, let it be done unto me. Do you see how you have even a better thing? You get that? See, according to Paul's gospel, let that be done unto me. As thou hast believed, honey, so be it done unto you. Praise the Lord. What did Mary deserve to have that child? Nothing. Mary, you've been given great favor, honey. You all here tonight, we've been given double portion great favor. And you know that. That's how he always does it. That's how he did it. He called Abraham out of an idol shop. What was he doing? Bad stuff. Huh? Well, I'm just going to cut it off. You know, David, you've went too far. All that adultery and murdering and all of that. And through all that, matter of fact, the one you did it with anyways, I'm going to bring forth the son that'll go on with your kingdom. Stop thinking. Let's believe him. That's when you'll get songs in your heart. That's when we'll grow up and grow in glory and continue to be like him. Praise God. Now, it gets you to see the exact opposite of what you want to see about you. Mercy sees all of Christ's abundant wealth in you. You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You've already got it. But you'll never see that you have it without seeing mercy. You'll always doubt that you have it if you look at you. But if you look at mercy, I got it. It's mine. And you know when you're looking at mercy, who you're looking at? The Lamb. And the Lamb slain, praise God. Now, if you're proud, you see mercy, you'll grow humble. If you're consumed with guilt, you see mercy, you'll fill up with liberty. If you feel like despair, and you stare at mercy, you'll be striding full victory, ruling and reigning jointly on his throne together with him. That's when you're set apart. I pray this, as they say, puts a little Gideon, your hop-along or whatever it is. It should. Don't go to sleep on this stuff, because this is it. This is the fuel that'll do it. So thanks be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.